Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Live, he's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can. Also, the Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Detroit Lions rookie defensive lineman Aiden Hutchinson? He had three sacks on Carson Wentz as the Lions beat the Commanders 36-27. And talking about the Lions, coming up at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, Alex Anzalone is going to stop by, their linebacker. So he'll join us as the Lions are now 1-1. As they beat the Commanders, they do have the Minnesota Vikings in an NFC North showdown this upcoming Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern in Minnesota. And then coming up 20 minutes from now, we got to check in with Michael Carter from the Jets. They're running back. What a comeback that was over the weekend as the Jets were down 13 points with under a minute 30 to go. 13 points they were down with under 90 seconds to go. Game over, right? Cleveland, you got a problem. As the Cleveland Browns choked that game away, Jets win. Jets this weekend go up against Cincinnati. And if you recall last year, that was the Mike White game for the Jets, where the Jets defeated the Cincinnati Bengals. So it will be a rematch coming up this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Jets and Bengals. Michael Carter from the Jets going to join us 20 minutes from now. So last night, we saw the Philadelphia Eagles dominate the Minnesota Vikings. We saw a Philadelphia Eagles team led by Jalen Hurts just be absolutely sensational. You can get in our poll question today. Where's your belief level at with Jalen Hurts? At Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. Is he a franchise quarterback, a good QB, or not a believer? 10.9% say not a believer. 35.6% say a franchise quarterback, and 53.5% say a good QB. So that was one of the Monday Night Football games last night, where you had two games, doubleheader, and it was just a disaster if you did not have a dog in the fight. Well, if you're a fan of the Tennessee Titans, it was a disaster. If you're a fan of the Vikings, it was a disaster. If you're an Eagles fan, you love it. If you're a Bills fan, you love it. But if you're just a neutral football watcher and you were observing those games, man, neither of those games were good. You would thought when you schedule two games, all right, one bare minimum would be good. You give me a reason to want to watch in the fourth quarter. The only reason if you were watching the fourth quarter last night was if one of your bets, one of your prop bets didn't hit. Because I told you, take Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown. It is the easiest bet. And it was crazy. It was plus money last night. So I cashed it on that, and then I elected to parlay. I did that individually, then I elected to parlay Jalen Hurts, and I went a little risky, KJ Osborne anytime touchdown. Now, that didn't happen. But when the Vikings were, I say this in air quotes, driving to end the game, even though the game was already over, I'm talking about the clock running out, I go, okay, you got a little skin in the game. Actually a reason to watch the final 2 minutes here. And then in the Buffalo Bills game, I'm trying to think what I did. Oh, I did. It was a Derrick Henry anytime touchdown. And I forget what the Bills side of it was. I threw some Bills. It was a Josh Allen anytime rushing touchdown. And there was no reason then for me to watch the game in the fourth quarter because Josh Allen wasn't in. See, now I know what it's like. I'm sitting there in the fourth quarter. I'm like, Miss McDermott, who's one of the best coaches in the league, what is he doing taking Josh Allen out of the game? And I go to myself, Zach, you only put $15 down on this. It's not the end of the world. You never bet above your means. You shouldn't do that. So $15, I can afford to lose the $15. So thank you, Derrick Henry. Thank you also to Jalen Hurts. You got me a little money won last night. But the parlays, the Tennessee Bills one I thought definitely would hit. Derrick Henry anytime touchdown, Josh Allen anytime touchdown. But the Bills didn't want to run the football last night with Josh Allen, nor did they need to. And then in that Eagles game, when you're betting something that's plus 800 on the odds return, I knew that it was going to be literally a gamble, but one that was a long shot from happening. So the games last night, both blowouts, and I want to spend a few moments talking about the Tennessee Titans because that division stinks. It is brutal. And think about this. I know it's only 2 weeks into the season. The season's very young. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are in first place right now. They're 1-1. Which the Jaguars being 1-1, good for them. And I know they just destroyed Indianapolis. That was an ass-kicking. 24-0. I know the Colts were hurt. Offensive line. Wide receivers out. Their top two wide receivers. You don't have Shaq Leonard for the last two games. But to not get a point, not get a field goal, a touchdown, and the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't the 85 Bears for crying out loud. And they're not the 07 Patriots. And that's what Indianapolis did. It was crazy. It was wild. So the Jaguars with Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence, 1-1. And you know what's not crazy to say? They could be 2-0. Carson Wentz tried to gift wrap them that game in week one. And I know he had the two touchdowns late, but he tried to throw that game away. And then you bounce back with that performance. That was impressive by Jacksonville. And the only, you know what's wild? The only thing that would surprise me in this division is if the Texans win the division. That would be it. Because the Texans, Davis Mills stinks. Nathaniel Hackett couldn't coach himself out of a paper bag. And you know, with that quarterback, you're not going to win. And in week one, I give them credit. They tied the Colts. Can the Colts still win this division? Yes. Even though they have a lot of problems, especially on the offensive line. And other than Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, they don't have a lot of good skill position players. Tennessee, though, I told you all offseason long, Tennessee was going to take a step back. This Jaguars team, this Texans team, this Colts team, you know, take the Jaguars out of it because they have a win. But the Titans start the year off 0-2. And it's not like they're donezo. Even though that team does not look good, I have no confidence in Ryan Tannehill. I don't like that A.J. Brown's no longer on that team. I thought that was a move that kind of said to me, hey, we're not going all in. Like, you look at the Dolphins, they're all in right now to make the playoffs. You look at the Eagles, they're all in to get the best out of Jalen Hurts. Buffalo is not going to leave any stone unturned. They go out and get Von Miller. Tennessee's been close the last few years. And I know we don't ever view the Titans as a great team, but they were the number one overall seed last year in the AFC. And this year they didn't make all-in moves. They made, we'll punt the ball down the road for a few years. To get rid of A.J. Brown, who other than Derrick Henry was your most explosive player on offense, is a joke. Pay the guy. And instead you're going with Robert Woods and Treylon Burks, and Robert Woods is a good wide receiver in this league, but I'd much rather have A.J. Brown. And I don't know what Burks is going to be at the wide receiving position. But that Tennessee team, they cannot get off to a worse start this year. You blew a 13-0 lead to the Giants, who are now somehow 2-0. The Giants haven't beat anyone in the last 4 or 5 years. So not only do you lose that game, then you just get destroyed, annihilated, emasculated up against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. So the only thing that would surprise me are the Texans winning this division. But I'll throw the Jaguars in that conversation now. And I would still be a little bit surprised if the Jaguars win the division just because that team doesn't have a lot of talent. But that shows you the major flaws that the Colts and the Titans have. I joked heading into the first week of the season. There was seriousness behind it. But I was trying to kind of get under the skin of my producer extraordinaire, is usually here in Hot Take Hickey. Oh, if you don't win the division this year, it's embarrassing. 9-8 wins that division. I don't even know if 9-8, if you're 9-8, you may be in the palace in that division. You may only need to get to 8 wins to win that division. And it would not shock me. Carlos just threw up 7 fingers. with how bad it's been through the first 2 weeks, you get 7 wins. You may win that division. Ugh, imagine in such a great AFC where you got Buffalo, you got Miami, you got the Ravens, the Bengals. I know the Bengals are 0-2. You then look at the AFC West with the Chiefs and the Chargers. In what's supposed to be a loaded AFC, imagine the one team that looks like they don't belong and the one team that's like, what, the redheaded stepchild? That's the team that's coming out of the AFC South. I'll say right now, 9 wins, I'll be surprised at this point. Now, optically, I hope it's not 7. I hope it's 8. But 8 and 9 is still ugly. It's still very ugly. But where are the wins coming in this division? Well, luckily for those teams, they had to play up against one another, but they've tied this year. We saw the Colts and the Texans. The Texans are up 22-3, and they tied. The Colts had an opportunity to kick a game-winning field goal. Missed. It's like hot potato in that division. Here's a victory. Oh, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. That's how bad this division is. Let's just look at the schedules the rest of the way. And clearly there will be some overlap because they play in the same division. So they play two of the same divisions. The Jaguars play the Chargers this weekend. The Eagles, the Texans, the Colts. I can't see them beating the Chargers. I can't see them beating the Eagles. So you better go beat the Texans and the Colts. Then the Giants, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Lions, Tennessee, the Cowboys, the Jets, the Texans, and then Tennessee. So that's the Jaguars schedule. The Colts schedule, as the Indianapolis Colts are 0-2, I don't know when the Colts get away. They play Kansas City this weekend, and Mahomes going to a dome? Hello. I think the line is 6.5. I should get on that now because that's definitely going to go up before kickoff. Then after that, you play Tennessee. You got the Broncos. The Colts, you have the Jaguars. Tennessee again. Commanders. That's Wentz against his old team. Patriots, Raiders, Eagles, Steelers, Cowboys, Vikings, Chargers, Giants, Texans. Oh, hot take Hickey. He's screwed. He is screwed. Now, I'm not going to go through everyone on their schedule, but this division, 7 wins, you'll be in the playoff conversation in this division. 8, you're probably going to win the division. This AFC South, it's the worst division in football. The NFC East, who we've joked last year is the NFC least, the Eagles are a damn good team. Cowboys had a, I'm not a believer in the Cowboys. The Cowboys had a gritty win with Cooper Rush against the Bengals. I don't believe in Carson Wentz, but the Commanders are 1-1. The Giants are 2-0. The NFC West, all those teams are 1-1. And you have the Super Bowl champs. 49ers are good. And they'll improve with Jimmy G now in that quarterback. Cardinals, Kyler Murray had to get that game. He did. NFC North, I think the Vikings are the playoff team. We know the Packers will win that division. I'm not a believer in the Bears. The Vikings have shown some life. The South, Tom Brady plays with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you look through all these divisions in football. AFC West, best division in football. AFC North, always solid. AFC East, you have the Bills, who are the best team in the league. The Dolphins are 2-0. The Patriots made the playoffs last year. This AFC South stinks. It is the worst division in football. Ugh, we're going to have to see 7-10, 8-9 in the playoffs. P.U. Ugly. Pathetic. The AFC South. Like, who do you feel good about? No one. And half the teams in that division, they're not even supposed to do anything this year. Like the Texans, they'll be picking the top 5. Jaguars, Doug Peterson's a good coach. You have a good quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. But that roster's not all that. And like they have a shot because of the quarterback and the coach to win that division. But the Colts in Tennessee? Like you got to check a pulse on them if they're in the playoffs. Yeah, you guys are actually here. Are you alive? Do you have a heartbeat? Do you have a pulse? But those two teams should be embarrassed. Going into the year, it was eliminated half your division. And the Colts and the Titans could not have gotten off to worse starts. It's pathetic. This AFC South, it's brutal. And I would like to try to give you some optimism if you root for those teams, but I can't do so. I can't. And I'll be really curious this week for Tennessee. You play the Raiders. After that beatdown on Monday Night Football, and the Raiders are going to be PO2 because they just blew a 20-0 lead. They're 0-2. The Raiders have more offensive firepower. That's not an easy game. I know it's a home game. But if you start the year off 0-3 and you're the Tennessee Titans, woof. I had a lot of people going to my DMs this offseason when I said Tennessee wasn't going to make the playoffs. I'm not ready to pop champagne yet, but people told me I was an idiot, a moron, and a dope. A lot of Commanders fans today going after me. Oh, Carson Wentz is unbelievable. Like, what? I can't tell you. I've been on like a six-hour thread. I got to find better things to do with my time. I get that. I'll be honest with myself. But Commanders fans are talking like about Carson Wentz because he has 7 passing touchdowns as if he's this great quarterback. You'd be thinking they're 2-0 and beating teams by 40 points. You beat the Jaguars, who play in the AFC South. That division sucks. And then this past week, it's the offensive line. Oh, it's the defense. Carson Wentz is Mr. 3-and-out to start off that game. You're in a 22-0 hole. But since he threw passing touchdowns and made it somewhat of a game in the second half, yeah, this is great. I say this all the time. The Commanders, here's the comparison that I'll make when talking about the Commanders. They've had such bad quarterback play for such a long time. It's almost as if you're a college student on a meal plan. You eat the dorm food, and the dorm food, it's not that good. And you know it's not that good. So then, one day you get a little bold, and you find some cash, and you walk 3 blocks off campus. And you go like the bodega. And the bodega makes you like a gyro. And you may be stoned, you may be drunk, I don't know. But you have that gyro, and you go, this is the greatest thing ever. But in reality, it's not. It's still crap. So that's what the Commanders are right now. Excuse me. That's what Carson Wentz is, and how Commanders fans look at Carson Wentz. We've had such bad quarterback play. Oh, we've had the gyro. This is a 5-star meal. This is like a filet mignon. This is like lobster mac and cheese. But it's not. So stop, Commanders fans. It's week 2. You lost to the Lions. Okay, you beat the Jaguars. Whoop-de-damn-do. Once again, they play in the AFC South. That sucks. And Commanders fans, oh, we're all excited about Carson Wentz. And I actually like the Commanders roster, but I don't like that quarterback. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Michael Carter from the Jets will join us next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's spend a few moments right now talking about the New York Jets, who are 1-1 on the season after one of the craziest comebacks I've ever seen. They were down 13 points in Cleveland with under 2 minutes to go, and they find a way to win the game 31-30 in those final 2 minutes. Now joining us, a second-year running back for the New York Jets out of UNC. They have the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend at MetLife Stadium, Sunday, 1 o'clock. And that's Michael Carter, who we did meet at the Super Bowl right when Barry Sanders was on set with us. And that was one of the coolest experiences probably of your life there, Michael Carter. Because I remember you called your dad right after on FaceTime. That was some awesome stuff. How you been?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Good to hear your voice again. Yeah, but no, you're right. Meeting Barry Sanders was a big deal to me, just because I feel like he's the pinnacle of the position. It's exciting, but it's cool. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'll never forget when you said to me, "I'm just surprised Barry Sanders knew who I was."
Yeah, right. And I really was surprised, but I guess it's a credit to my work I've been putting in.
Well, that was an insane victory last weekend, Michael Carter. How'd you process it now having a day or two to think about it?
No, it was a fun win. But, at the same time, I'm very highly aware that, it takes more than one win to, be great in this league. So, everybody can do it one time, but can you do it again and again and again? So it was fun while it lasted, but, we're on to, next week.
When you heard that after the game, I'm sure you saw this stat that NFL teams won the last 2,229 consecutive games when leading by at least 13 points in the final 2 minutes. To see you guys break that streak, which is remarkable, what does that say about the football team you guys have?
Yeah, man, I think it just speaks on our resilience, our resiliency as a team. And like I said before, man, we're just a group that just fights to the end. And we're gonna fight for each other, and win, lose, or draw. We know we're gonna be a tough group, and we're gonna be a tough group to beat. Win, lose, or draw. Even if we lost, there's gonna be a long injury report. So it's always fun to go out and play on Sunday with the guys.
Michael Carter here with us. Was that the craziest comeback you've ever been a part of playing football?
I don't know. I was thinking like maybe, but I did have a game where we played at UNC, and we was down by like 25. 30 at halftime, and we came back and won. We scored like 38 straight points. But I think just like the magnitude of we're away, and it was 2 minutes left or less, and we were down by 2 touchdowns. I think this one probably does take the cake. But at the same time, I was very confident in both those games, and my teammates were confident also that we were going to win the game. And our energy was great on Sunday, man. And a lot of credit to our my teammates and our fans that were at the game, they had the house rocking too. So it was fun.
Michael Carter here with us from the Jets, second year running back. Jets have the Bengals this weekend. Before we talk about the Bengals, one more on last week. What was that scene like in the locker room after the game? We saw the little video of Joe Flacco going nuts, but it must have been a party in that locker room.
Yeah, Joe Flacco was so tall, and he jumped up. He was jumping up, and I thought he was going to hit his head on the ceiling. He was jumping so high. But no, man, it was super fun. It was super fun.
I know Zach is your quarterback, but because of the injury, Joe is playing. Is that a business mentality that you have already where you don't think about it that way? But it has to be pretty surreal because you probably watched up seeing Joe Flacco play some football when you were growing up, right?
Yeah, Joe Flacco was like a hood hero. Yeah, no, Joe Flacco was super cool. And, he does a really good job in the huddle and just makes sure everybody, has the play and knows what to do before, we get out there and spin. So, it's always fun playing with Joe, and just to play with a legend like that, and he'll downplay it, but in a lot of eyes, he is a legend. So it's just fun to play with one and learn.
How is Zach Wilson progressing?
Very well. He's healthy. He's been working. His mental is strong, and he's gonna be ready to go when he gets back. So it's just we have a win-win situation at quarterback. So
do you have a feeling when he's gonna be back?
I don't know. You probably have to ask coach or his lawyers or something.
Michael Carter here with us. What type of quarterback do you think Zach Wilson can be?
He can be whatever quarterback he wants to be. He's got all the talent in the world, and he got the hard work and the work ethic to match it. So I do think the sky's the limit for him, and he knows that. I feel that way about him. We talk all the time. So it's we're on a path, trying to be great, and, along with the rest of the guys. I do think I don't want to. There's no pressure on Zach. At the end of the day, it's a team sport. As much as people in media try to put everything on him as a quarterback, but it's a team game. So he just kind of come to work every day like he does and just continue to get better.
Talking to Michael Carter from the Jets, what do you think the biggest difference is from last year to this year for you individually, and then also the team so far?
Yeah, I think I'll start with the team. We're just a confident group, man, and we know that we can win in the game. And, just even last week, okay, yeah, we won. And, people can say, what they want to say about, the Browns clock management, but that's just a game we play, man. Like, it's a game of inches, and, we took advantage of the opportunity that we had. Whereas week one, we defense played lights out, and offense, we weren't able to put any points on the board. But, we came back the next week, and, we fixed what we had to fix in practice, and, we put points on the board. So, from last year to this year, we're even more confident group. And we're a group that knows that we can go win any game in any stadium. So, and individually, I think, you know, I'm the game's slowing down for me. And just, I know, I really feel like, you know, at any point, you know, if things, you know, are going the way that, you know, things are kind of going my way in the game, that I, you know, I can, you know, do whatever it takes to win the game. Like, I can do, like, my part and a little extra just to, you know, to go help win a game for the team. So I feel very confident. My confidence is at an all-time high. And I'm blessed to be where I'm at. And I know I'm just grateful for it all. So I'm happy. I think that's the biggest thing.
What was your reaction when the team drafted Breece Hall in the second round this year?
You know, Washington College, he's a really good player. So I just was excited to go in and work. And, so, yeah, things are working out.
Yeah, how's that relationship been so far? Because you guys are obviously splitting carries, but how have you guys been so far as teammates?
No, really well. We've been doing well. He's a guy that works hard, and you know, I'm gonna always gel with guys that work hard because I'm a hard worker too. So he's a cool guy. Got a good sense of has a good personality, relationship, and all around just a good guy.
Take me through on that 2nd and 10 catch that you had, and then you got the first down for 12 yards late with under a minute 30 to go. You made a nice little move there. Just take me through that play, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that, just kind of fake go out of bounds a little bit and then try to get the first down. I saw Michael Vick do it one time. And so that, I was like, hey, this is probably not the best time to try, but what else I'm going to try it? So it was my mind was on getting. But, you know, Denzel Ward did a good job of taking it away, so I had to, you know, go find the stick. So that was all my mind was just get the first down.
It's pretty impressive, the confidence to try something that you've never done before in a game there.
Yeah, I think that you got to be confident in this league because, you know, everybody's talented, but not everybody's confident as they say they are or, you know, as they appear to be. And I think, you know, the more confidence you have in the game, you know, the better off you'll be.
So you just saw growing up Michael Vick attempt that one time, and that's just how you remember something like that, and that comes naturally to you?
Well, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to try this if I get the rock. It was more of a, I did it, and I was like, ah, it works. You know what I mean?
Michael Carter here with us from the Jets. Jets play the Bengals this weekend. That was a successful game for you guys last year. You guys got a victory. I know Mike White was playing at quarterback, and now it's going to look like it's going to be Joe Flacco. Is there anything you could take away from that game, or is it just, hey, it's a whole new year? There's not really much you take away from that one.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's, you know, they're familiar with us, and, you know, we're familiar with them. We played them last year. They're the same group of guys, you know, with the, and they've gotten better. And so, it's just going to be a matter of, you know, yeah, we're learning from the film that last year that we played them last year with. But also, the first couple of games this year, you know, despite losing, you know, they've done some really good stuff. So it'll be an interesting matchup. It'll be a fun one. You know, their roster's extremely talented. And it'll be fun to just go compete. We've got a lot of respect for those guys.
How do you describe your head football coach, Robert Saleh, Michael Carter?
Yeah, he's juiced up. He's a, you know, a leader and someone that, you know, can bring people together. And so it's nothing but love for him and a lot of respect for him.
You know what it's like to be a rookie going through it last year. Garrett Wilson is a first-round pick. A lot of high expectations coming out of Ohio State where he was a heck of a wide receiver. On Sunday, had 8 receptions, 102 yards, got those 2 touchdowns. The last one was the biggest one. What has stood out to you the most so far about Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, he's a good athlete, man, and he loves to compete. I think that's the number one thing that has stuck out to me is that, you know, he just loves to compete. He talks a lot of trash, and he backs it up. And it's, and he's been doing well. He's been doing well. He came in, and he has, you know, the right head on his shoulders. I know it's cliche to say, but he has, man. He's really put his head down and worked and earned a lot of respect from his teammates.
We've seen receivers recently. Justin Jefferson stepped into the league right away, had an immediate big-time impact. Last year, Ja'Marr Chase, who the Bengals are going to play you guys this weekend, right away took the league by storm. Do you feel like with what he's shown the first 2 weeks, especially on Sunday, that he could be one of those guys like a Ja'Marr Chase, like a Justin Jefferson?
You know what? I feel like it's not really my job to, you know, foresee that. I think that it's also, you know, I don't want to put any expectations on him. It's just, you know, it's his life, and I know he's capable of doing that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's going to be up to, you know, how life goes. And, but at the same time, yeah, he's very, very capable of doing something like that. He is. He's got all the talent in the world. And, you know, he's my dog. So he's, you know, we're going to continue to take it week by week.
Before we let you run, do you sense a different energy with this team? I know it's only two games in. I know you guys are 1-1, and I know you want to win every game. It's a building process, but I thought the Jets had a pretty positive offseason. Do you feel that energy, or do you still just say, okay, we're not there yet?
No, I do feel that. And I've been feeling like that probably since the end of last season. And I know we were not necessarily winning, but we were playing much better football. So with the guys that we got in the offseason and the guys that we have in the building, you know, just getting better and better and better and just improving every day. I do think that we're at a place where, you know, we should be, you know, we should feel confident about going into each game and winning them.
Before we let you run, I got to ask you about your UNC Tar Heels. They're 3-0. They had that wild game up against App State a few weeks back. They got Notre Dame this weekend. You've been keeping tabs with your Tar Heels?
Yeah, I have, for sure. You know, man, I got to. Man. I love my alma mater. And everybody was laughing at me about the App State game until they beat Texas A&M. And then
yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, you know what, maybe App State is good. Well, no, I could have told you that it was good. App State's a great program. And they do a lot of good things, and they got a hell of a run game, actually. But, you know, they play a lot of good football there, and they got draft picks. And actually, one of the guys that played when I played App State in college plays for the Bengals. So, you know, we play him this week. So it'll be funny just going up to him and, you know, joking about, you know, when we played and stuff like that. So here we go.
Well, Michael Carter, always great to catch up with you. Heck of a win over the weekend, and good luck the rest of the way. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, man.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, news brief time. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Two Monday Night Football games last night. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Vikings 24-7. Jalen Hurts, the big story from that game, 26-31 with the passing touchdown at 333 yards. Also ran the ball 11 times for 57 yards and not one but two rushing touchdowns. Nick Sirianni, the head football coach of the Eagles, says that his quarterback really has the game starting to slow down for him.
He's put in so much work, and of course, you know, it's slowing down, but it should, right, for him at this point, because, you know, he's a year further into his process, and we're talking about getting better every day, and he lives that. He's one of our captains, he's one of our leaders, and he lives the theory of getting better every day, and that's why you're seeing major improvements, because of the type of person and the type of the player he is.
The Eagles will win the NFC East. The Eagles will have double-digit wins this year. There's only one game the rest of the way in the schedule that you're really shaking your boots about, and that's the Packers. But there's not a game on this Eagles schedule the rest of the way that they can't win. Not saying they're going to win them all, but this team I thought was going to be good before the year. They may be better than what I thought. Kevin O'Connell, he suffers his first loss as an NFL head coach. Had a great debut up against the Packers in Philadelphia. Not so much as quarterback Kirk Cousins. Monday night massacre again. For Captain Kirk, a Monday Night Football, he threw three interceptions. Kevin O'Connell, though he's not going to throw his quarterback underneath the bus, he says that the blame on this game goes all on his shoulders.
A very, very difficult night, you know, for our team, but you got to give the Eagles a lot of credit. They outplayed us and really controlled the football game, really in a lot of phases of the game. But when I look back on tonight, ultimately I think, you know, I put this one on me. I don't think I did enough for our team in game.
Well, let's get to Kirk Cousins. Let's hear him discuss his turnovers at the quarterback position last night.
No, not a common thread. Just each one's different, you know. So you just take each one as they were, and you know, try to improve and get better.
That's kind of funny to me because clearly the question was about his Monday night struggles. As he is 2-10 on Monday Night Football. Yeah, each one's different. You gotta love that. Let's go to Stephon Diggs. He had three touchdowns last night. He's just an absolute stud. One of the better wide receivers in the league. 12 for a buck 48 and three touchdowns. Here is Stephon Diggs, who says when Josh Allen extends a play, you know he's going to find you.
They play a lot of zone. Just understand spacing and understand time. And I know Josh, he can extend the play. And it's usually when you extend play with a quarterback like that, he can find you. And the ball's going to get you. You just got to catch it. So really going to just do your job. I'm trying to do my job to the best of my ability, keep it fun. He's a big kid, too, so being out there is easy for me.
I don't know how you stop Josh Allen right now. Also, Stephon Diggs, he's, like, unguardable, too. That Justin Jefferson-Stephon Diggs trade could be one of the fairest trades I've ever seen. I know that at the time you get the proven commodity if you're Buffalo, but we didn't know he was that great. And he's shown you now that he's a great wide receiver. And at the time, the Vikings got a first-round pick and then some. But that first-round pick, we didn't know it was going to be Justin Jefferson. Since 2020, Justin Jefferson, 211 receptions, 3,248 yards, 19 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs, 250 receptions, 3,030 yards, and 22 touchdowns. Extremely fair deal. Let's hear Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, says it was awesome to watch Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen get to work.
That last throw that Josh made and to Steph, and I'm just saying, go get it, man, go get it, and he got it. It was fun to watch. I mean, that was awesome.
Josh Allen in the contest last night only had one rushing attempt for 10 yards, but that's all he needed because he was 26 of 38 for 317 yards and four passing touchdowns. Bills, they're 2-0. They beat the Rams by 21 points. They beat Tennessee 41-7. All the Super Bowl talks continuing. Bills linebacker Von Miller's won two Super Bowls and a Super Bowl MVP. Says it's too early in the season to start thinking about winning a Lombardi trophy.
You just play the game. You know, whenever you start thinking about Super Bowls, man, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant, man. Like, you know, you just got to take it, you know, one play at a time. It's 17 weeks. And, you know, football is a humbling sport. You know, you're going to be met with adversity at some point, and we just keep preparing for that adversity.
Von Miller also says the Bills, though, even though he's not ready to talk Super Bowl, they're a team full of killers.
You know, we're not playing the game to just win the game. We're playing the game to dominate the game, and we got a team full of killers, man, and it's led by, you know, our quarterback, you know, our head coach, you know, the leadership on this team, you know, from Brandon Bean all the way down to the janitors and the infrastructure of this team.
Let's get the flip side of this massacre. If you're Tennessee, geez, 0-2 to start the year. The only bright spot is the AFC South. Absolutely is horrible. Mike Vrabel says, we just got our asses kicked.
We got our asses kicked, plain and simple. They outcoached us. They outplayed us. And that's the definition of it. And so we're going to get back to work, and we're going to figure out a way to win a football game.
Play me that one more time. That was so good. I just have to hear the beginning.
We got our asses kicked, plain and simple. They outcoached us. They outplayed us. And that.
You know, he comes in the Belichick school. But Belichick is like, you know, we didn't play well. You know, we got to dominate every facet of the game. Vrabel just comes in hot. We got our asses kicked. We got destroyed. We were a joke. That was awesome. Ryan Tannehill, he got his ass kicked as well. Threw the ball 20 times in the game, only completed 11 passes, and had two interceptions. He was pulled for Malik Willis, who did fumble. He had four carries for 16 yards, threw the football four times, 1 of 4 for only 6 yards. It was a disaster of a night for Tennessee all throughout that team. And Ryan Tannehill says that he still believes that this team could turn around even though they're 0-2.
They believe in each other. You know, we're two games into a long season. Obviously, not the start we want, not the start we expected, but a lot of football out in front of us and a lot of confidence that we're going to get this thing going in the right direction.
Yeah, the only confidence that you should have, it's not because of your individual abilities or your team's abilities. Because I don't think Tennessee's that good of a team this year. And they were a team that was number one overall seed last year in the AFC. So it shows you how quickly it could change. But that's what happens when you trade away a player like A.J. Brown. It just deflates that locker room. But the only positive thing you have is that the Jaguars are 1-1 and in the lead for that division. Colts, they're all 1-1. And you look at this Texans team, they're all 1-1 as well. So the only saving grace of this division is just horrendous. One of the worst divisions that you're ever going to see. So there was a report today. We all know Oklahoma is going to the SEC. But the Bedlam series between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, once Oklahoma goes to the SEC, is going to come to a close, which just stinks. Because that's always a game. You hammer the over, you hammer the over, you hammer the over. And it's also a very fun showdown. And those rivalries, they start to go away. And I know geography is dead in college football and college athletics. But those rivalries, sometimes they stay, but then sometimes they go away because you're no longer in the conference. So Brent Venables was asked about it, the head football coach at Oklahoma, about the report that the Bedlam football matchup won't continue since OU is going to the SEC.
I didn't hear that. So, like I said, I like to keep things simple, be the last one to find out. That's the way it happens at my house. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it isn't. I love rivalry games for all the right reasons. So that's what they've decided to do. That's what they've decided to do. My opinion really doesn't matter. But I love rivalry games for all the reasons. People have a deep, a genuine investment in their school and take incredible pride. And so what that does in those environments is really cool. And again, as I've said before, I'm a traditionalist at heart. So, I understand, what the rivalries look like, whether it's as a Sunflower State showdown or that's Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, or you go down and list all the other ones that are out there. But those are a great thing for college athletics.
Yeah, I don't buy that was the first time the coach heard it. But I did then kind of like how he made that cheesy line, oh, I'm always the last one to find out. It's like the same thing at home. But then he talks about how much he does like rivalry games. But you know your university, because they're chasing the cash, is now going to put an end, unfortunately, to that rivalry game. Got a great tweet. And that's a news brief. It's a Zach Gilb show on CBS Sports Radio from Dave Abbott on Twitter. He goes, Rabel was channeling the, Jim Mora. He's not wrong on that one. We just got our asses kicked. Diddly poo. That's a good tweet right there in a reference to Jim Mora. Whose son is now the head football coach at UConn. And Jim Mora's son is now the head football coach at UConn. We know that he's made a lot of stops. NFL coach in Seattle, Atlanta, recently was at UCLA. And I saw that he was the head coach at UConn when I saw, I think it was Michigan, beat the snot out of him. So it's a good tweet there. By Dave Abbott. Take a break. Come on back. When we return, undefeated teams in the NFL. Take a look at all of them.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.